say the difference between tithing and offering. And then we say that tithe is actually from a Hebrew word, mesa, and it is a tenth. That's the meaning of tithe, is a tenth. And from the scripture, we learn that God actually asks his people, the Israelites, to set out a tenth of their produce. And what is your produce? Everything that you make. So we've kind of put it in our own era, you know, with our income. So your income, the gift, whatever you earn, whatever you're getting, is a tenth of it that we're talking about. And we say that offering is the extra one that you pay. You know, so we are not going to mix offering and tithing. So there are two different things entirely. Tithing is the tenth. Offering is the one that is on top. So this morning I'm going to use a word, gift, as opposed to pay. You know, so our tithing is not a payment to God. It's a gift. We're giving God back a tenth of what he gave us so that we don't say we're paying our tithe. You don't pay somebody that gave you 100 things and said, just give me 10 of it. You're not paying the person. You're just giving it back to the person. I don't know whether I'm making any sense. So we don't pay our tithe. We give our tenth back to God. So that's what he asks us to do. And again, the whole idea of we are repeating things, yes, we repeat things because if you go to the scripture in Hebrew, you know, Paul said that when we repeat something, of course, you get it better. However, for the purpose of this discussion, it is for us to understand what we are doing, to understand the scripture. Because when you have an understanding, you do something better. So if we have an understanding of tithing, then we will decide to do it with understanding or not to do it with understanding. And I have to say that this topic we are discussing three times, I'm just the one that researched for it, so I wasn't told what to say. It is not to cajole anybody to pay their tithe. It is not to force anybody. It is nothing like that. It is just for us to understand it. Okay, so I just have to put that one there. So this morning, and it's not to make anybody to feel guilty. So this morning is going to be more or less question and answer session. So if you have your questions, please hold it. We are only able to get through questions. Some people that responded back said they didn't have any questions. So if you have one, please, can we have the mic in the middle? Okay. So, and again, we've already said that tithing, we discussed what tithing is and what is not. Secondly, we said where the tithe should be paid. That means your local church. So having said that, I will please recommend that whatever contribution or questions we're asking, since this is our local church and we're discussing tithing, let's limit it to the local church, which is here. In that way, our visitors will know how we do things here. Our children will learn, our youth will learn how we do things here. And let us please go to the scripture for the questions and answers to back ourselves up. The reason why I'm saying it is, if we discuss what happens here, it will benefit us better than us discussing what is happening in Nigeria, California, or in another church. So let's limit ourselves to what happens here. In that way, we'll be able to understand what we're doing. And when we go out and people are discussing this, we'll be able to tell them what happens in this church. You know, I'm so grateful to God that when I came here with the AGM meeting every year, I saw, you know, the way the money is spent, the transparency, the way things are done. So let's please use the scripture. Let's back ourselves up with scripture. Let's not back ourselves up with Pastor ABC or anybody somewhere, please. In that way, we'll be able to benefit from this discussion. So I'll start with the first question. The first question is, I have a business of which I borrowed money from the bank to establish. The bank wants me to pay installments for the loan every month. I also have employees that have to pay salaries every 2 weeks. The question is this, when do I pay my tithe? Is it after paying the bank and my employees' salaries or before? That's our first question. I'm not the one to answer this for everybody. I think a lot of us are doing businesses, one business or the other, so this will benefit us a lot.
In church, praise the Lord. And the person who asked that question is convoluted. Why is it convoluted? Your tithe is your tithe. Your tithe has little or nothing to do with the loan you borrowed from the church. Your tithe is the 10% you pay to your local church where you worship. The loan you borrowed to establish business has little or nothing to do with the tithe. You have to pay the bank instrumentally. And as you're doing business, yes, loan, paying employees, making payroll, and so forth and so on are the expenses that are inherent with conducting a business. They are tax deductible to you as a business person. The money you make that comes to you, especially the money you made, your income you take, you have to pay 1/10 of your income. It's an increase to the church. Now, when you do your annual taxes, your gross, let's say you made $10 million gross a year, then the net, that gross you're supposed to pay, that gross, as a matter of fact, it may sound funny, you're supposed to pay 10% of it to your local church. That's how it's stipulated in the Bible. So they are like two parallel lines. They will never meet. That's my take on it. God bless you.
Good morning, church. This is an interesting question. As a banker and an accountant, your income when you're doing business is when you generate revenues called revenues, not income yet, it's revenues. And then you deduct all your expense. The net is your income, that's what you take as what you are earning is, what you have actually earned. And you have to pay 10% of it. It's not the growth, because the growth is not your income. The growth is just general revenues. And then you start deducting all your salaries, you pay all your employees, and then ultimately you come to your net. That's what you take as your income. And then that is what you consider income, 10% of it is what you pay. Accounting, that is what your income is. Income is not the total revenue. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to repeat the question again for those people that are coming in. I hope we're going to really do justice to this one. I have a business of which I borrowed money from the bank to establish. The bank wants me to pay installments for the loan every month. I also have employees. I have to pay salaries every 2 weeks. The question is this. When do I pay the tithe? Is it after paying the bank and my employee salaries are before. Now, I'm going to say something.
Good morning, church, and welcome back our beloved men. I just wanted to, you know, highlight one of the things that the last speaker said, you know, because, you know, when you say the net though is what comes to you, I don't want us to confuse it with those of us that are salaried people. I don't know much about business, so I'm not answering that question, but I just want to say that for those of us who are employed, your income is your gross. So you now you don't have to give from your net, you have to give from your gross. Where I work, when we consider your income, we are considering your gross. The government considers your gross before they take what belongs to them. How much more the one that made you? So I just wanted to make sure that we don't confuse us with the gross and the net for those of us that are working. But for the business guys, I think maybe when you finish your stuff, you know how much that you put into it, then you'll be able to calculate what is the profit. From the profit is what you now give, you know, pay your, that's what I think it should be. Because, I mean, the other one is your capital with which you started the business, and then you start, and then this is, after you have done the business, this is what comes, this is the increase, then you make your deduction, and then you'll be able to get what is left as your own. Then you pay your tithe from there. I don't know much about business. Please forgive me.
Yeah, continue, but I'm going to throw in another question in light of that one.
So, can we finish what we
started? No. It's the same one.
Let's finish what you started.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, in what we call in business, the Bible says that Abraham went to a war, okay, and then he gave Melchizedek all, okay, you know, that's what the scripture said. 10%. Now, when you are in business, you borrowed money. That's not your money. So you cannot say, oh, when will I pay? First of all, you borrowed the money. The money is not even yours. So you have to, first of all, pay the people who has the thing. And then, and you are assuming that you're making money right away. Sometimes a business might only break even. So sometimes we are using some words, semantic. Pay or not to pay this. This is the simple answer is when you have a business. Some people even that I say, you know, the business company called Lord and Taylor. You know why it's called Lord and Taylor? When Mr. Taylor started his business, he decided that 50% will be for the Lord, and the other 50 will be for him. That's why he named it Lord, my Lord, and Mr. Taylor. So he's giving 50%, even more than what the scripture has indicated. So when you are in business, it's a different ball game. When you make the money, when you have settled all those who own the money, then you can give what you have made above and beyond what you have. Above and beyond what you actually was given to you. Amen.
There are a lot of business people here, so I'm hoping that everybody will say something.
Yeah, good morning.
Whether
good morning.
You're selling puff or granuts.
We are all saying something about it, okay? So the last person, who is a banker, brought out more effective way of handling this issue. Revenue, the word revenue means what you get after you have settled whatever portion of revenue, what you get, okay? And then profit is what you get after you subtract, you know, from, you know, the expenses. So that area, that place is when you think this is what I have made, and then 10% of it. Then for Pastor Dorothy's, for workers, your gross income, your gross pay from your company, in your paycheck, stay gross before government removes the taxes, is your income. That is 10% of that is what you pay as a tithe. So that's what it is.
Come out so that.
Praise God. I think my brother here has answered the question over there. Yeah, I think he has answered. Yeah. You see, if you make $20 a month as income, and your loan a month is $5, and your other expenses is $5, your net income is $10. You pay it on the 10th. As simple as that. You pay your diet based on a $10. That's your net income. As simple as that.
Yeah, we're going to need more people. Now, let me ask, what if you're not making anything? You're actually losing money because sometimes businesses doesn't pick up right away. You understand? So what if you just start a business and you're actually pouring in, you haven't actually, it hasn't broken even, because some business may require, you know, a little bit time for it to start yielding dividend. How do we answer that one?
I take it. Praise the Lord. Myself and Pastor Sinati, we chatted a little bit. You can defer your taxes. We understand that. After it's all said and done, when you do your numbers, whether you're self-employed or you're employed by whoever, when you do the money you earn, after you defer your taxes, get all the applicable deductions, when it comes time to do your numbers and you've done it, and everything is in order, you still have to pay your tithe. It's 10%. And it's 10% of your gross. We are mixing apples and oranges. My colleagues who answered the question have been issued, they were correct. But they answered it based on their profession. They did not answer it as a Christian person. It's 10% of the gross. Whether you do the number now or you do it later, whether you're self-employed or whether you're employed by someone else, when it is time to pay, it is 10% of the gross. And my brother here, Brother Christian, also showed you example where people even paid more and they still made money. Human wisdom don't factor in here. It's what the word says.
Hold it there.
Amen.
So let's say you borrowed 100,000. You borrowed 100,000. Okay? So you're paying the bank their money. I want Eddie to answer it. You're paying the bank. No, answer the question. You're paying the bank. Eddie, take the question. You're paying. No, you said period. So let's go over your period.
Yes.
So you borrowed $100,000 from the bank. So you're going to be paying them, because usually they'll tell you how much to pay. You're not the one to tell them. And then you have two employees that you have to pay. But now you're not even breaking even. But you still have to pay your employees. What is your gross now?
What I'm
is
saying,
your gross $100,000?
No, it's not. When you do business, there are expenses that are inherent with doing business. You're still going to take care of them. After you get all your, as a matter of fact, those things are tax deductible to you. When you do your taxes and do your numbers, and you have a gross of what you made, even your salary you pay yourself when you're self-employed is also tax deductible to the business. So when it is time now for you to pay your tithe, after you've done your numbers, it's going to be paid on the gross. It's not on the net. So we are mixing apples and oranges. If you are self-employed, you're still an employee. You are an employee of your company. We call it you are an employee. You still make income. When you do that numbers, even if you deferred it because you were carrying a loss, your numbers, when they jive, you still have to pay 10% of your gross profit. You cannot get around it. It is what the Bible says, and it is what it is. 10% is what the Bible says, 10% of your gross. You can't debate it, you can't legislate it, you cannot make it an academic exercise. That's what's in the Bible, as per the order of Melchizedek. And we are the body of Christ, members of the body of Christ. We are the body today, the priests, we are still the ones. The money does not go to any person in the church, but the church itself. This is the household of Christ. It is not held by an, it's not owned by an individual. It's owned by the members of the body of Christ. Amen?
Good morning, church. I like Brother Eddie's, and he's very enthusiastic, but we have to be realistic. The fact is, when you borrow money from the bank, the money is not yours. Yeah.
Okay. Let me please repeat. So we are dealing with tithing, and we want to do it with understanding. Now we have questions. One of the questions that somebody asks is, I have a business of which I borrowed money from the bank to establish. The bank wants me to pay installments for the loan every month. I also have employees that have to pay salaries every 2 weeks. The question is, when do I pay the tithe? Is it after paying the bank and my employee's salaries or before? That's the question.
Okay. Like I said before, remember when you borrow money, the money is not yours. It's the bank's money. And then you put this money, say you are in production, producing goods. And then you have, let's say hypothetically, you have two employees. And of course, like somebody said here, that when you open up a business, I think it's Brother Eddie, people take for granted that once we open a business, you already make an income. It takes like a year, 2 years, some companies 3 years before you break even. At that time, you are posting losses. And let me answer, go straight to what you would pay. As a Christian, you have no money this time. You're posting losses. It's up to you by your faith. If you have faith, you can say to God, I know I didn't make money, but I choose to pay this tithe, because you haven't made any income at that point. As a matter of fact, you are owing. You pay what you want at that time, what you need. And as a Christian, if you trust your God, you can actually pay money which you get from somewhere else, because at that point you have no money. But let's say now, in the third year or fourth year, you break even. The fifth year, you start making profit. At that time, you generate revenues. Out of this revenue, that's why I want people to be able to differentiate between revenues and income. Revenues, you deduct the bank loan, which you pay monthly. You deduct employees or your fixed expense, like light, okay, travel, all those things. When you deduct all those things, money comes back now. That is your money. That's your net income. That's what you take as what you have earned. And out of it, you pay 10% of it. That is your income. I'm talking about a business. But if you are an employee and you have what they call, your gross profit, like my sister said over there, that's what you pay your 10% on. But your question is business. So for business people, your income is what, after you have done all your expense, everything else, what you take is your income. That's what you pay, you are tied on.
It is only these people. Everybody is doing business here.
Praise God. Let us try to talk about the legal implications about this. See, we are in a country where law applies. Praise God. The federal government requires you to pay your employees and remit the payroll taxes to IRS. God wants us to pay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. If you make $20 a month, service your loan, pay your employees, you remit to IRS what belongs to them, and pay out all other expenses. Whatever is left is your money to pay your tithe upon. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Okay, so another question I want to ask on top of it. So you're an employee, but you're selling clothing on the side. You're selling granuts, you're selling puff-puff, you're doing moi-moi, you're doing catering, you're doing all these things on the side. So what's going to happen? Is your gross still your paycheck gross? Or does it include all the side puff-puff and granuts? No. We're in for a ride.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I walk and
and you're selling cars and you have
I work and sometimes I do things on the side. To me, God said bring the 10%. The 10% belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. You're just giving God what belongs to him. So what I think is you pay on what you earn from your job and from your business. If you started the business by paying your tithe on the money you used to invest, that helps. I'm not talking of those who borrowed. I'm talking of you start a small business with your money. Then, if you paid your tithe on the principal, what happens is, as you make gain, you continue paying tithe on that. Because it is the same thing. If it is only business you're doing, you're supposed to pay tithe. If you're just working, you're supposed to pay tithe. So you pay on both sides. Thank God for that blessing. And you pay him your tithe on the gain, and you pay your tithe on the on your job, or what you get from your job. So that is what it's supposed to be. But if
I think the question is, you're talking about somebody making puff puff. Okay, if you're making puff puff, where did you get the flour? You gotta go buy the flour.
I'm just saying. Okay, people that have apartments, that they're getting rent as well. So let's go through it.
First of all, you are making puff-puff. It's a business. You are going to go somewhere to get the flour. You will buy the oil. You will cook from the gas. They are all expense. They are all expense, which you have incurred doing that business. That's not the only thing that you get is when you profit out of that. Supposing you are making that puff-puff and you lost, you bought materials for $100, and after you sold the whole thing, it came to $80. You really lost money. You lost $20. So you have to take into account what you brought in and then what you got getting out. It's garbage in, garbage out. What is the... You garbage in a whole lot of energy, and then when you got the information, you got less. So you haven't really made money at that time. But if you made bad everything and you made money that month, you know what you're doing? You're gonna pay tithe upon the increase that you receive. Because next week you're gonna make more off. And then you get more increase. But if you start paying from your increase, at the time, if you're doing the deduction, you find out that you don't have enough money to make more puff-puff.
I'm just going to our bedrooms, our homes, so that every little thing will understand how it works.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know when I entered, I was talking about tithe. Tithe is on every income that comes to you. Whether it's a gift of money, maybe somebody gives you a gift, you have to pay 10% of it to God so that it will attract more. And then when you're a businessman, a businesswoman, you take away your capital, you pay tithes on whatever earning that has come into it. Then there are the proceeds, yes, that's what I'm saying. Then a government worker, you pay tithes on your gross. Praise the Lord.
Now for the youth and the younger ones, when kids get money, somebody gives them money, do we explain what tithing? Because I want everybody to understand this concept of tithing. Because when I was growing up as a young girl, if you come to our house and give us a naira or so, my mom will tell you, remember your own tithe. So it's just for us to teach ourselves, our children, the youth, you know, what tithing is all about, so that at the end of the day, it now becomes a choice. Whatever you want to do, it becomes a choice.
Okay, when you started this, you say that you're going to define tithe as a gift. But I hear everybody talking about paying tithe. I don't hear anybody saying give tithe. So what was the basis why that you chose to define tithe as a gift?
Okay, I define tithing as a gift in the sense that it is God's money. He's only asking for a fraction of it. Now, when you do your job, you get paid. When I give you, and I use an example, I said if I give you $100 and I ask you $10 from that $100, are you paying me $10 or you're giving it back to me? Which one? What? I want us to use the right word. Maybe this is English now. Are you paying me back the $10 or you're giving me the $10? I mean, it's English word. I'm just saying that we are not paying God money. We're not paying God tithe. We're giving God back a fraction of what he gave us. We're giving him 10% of what he gave us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so we give our tithe. We don't pay.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We give our tithe.
I know that we have other questions. We've been on this one. I think we have really talked a lot on this. It's not by law. We are not under the law. As we keep on getting better and better understanding, God by his spirit will help us. And I know we'll keep on adjusting. I remember the years back I used to give from my net. Until when I get a revelation, this thing is, as the anointing in you teaches you, as you keep on growing, God will keep on unveiling to you, even for those of you in business and those of us that are employed, as you get better understanding, you keep on adjusting. God is not using a long stick and say, oh, you didn't do it this way. No, we are not under the law. We are under grace. So as we keep on growing, we will keep on adjusting. So God is not angry. He's not mad at us. You know, so, but I want us to really look into other questions because of our time. Thank you so much.
Well, I wanted to say the last thing you said, I wanted to respond to that. When you have a gift, now, tithing on the gift, you share it into two. There are dedicated monies that a parent gives to their children. Like they give you money to go buy books at school.
No, not that.
You don't pay tithes on that. It's a dedicated gift. It's something given. So when you have a dedicated gift, like I remember my local church, some housewife have asked if their husbands give them money for feeding. You don't pay tithes on that. It's a dedicated gift, money. It's given for a purpose. But when they give you money out of free volition, then you pay tithes on that. So when a gift is dedicated to buy a particular thing, you don't pay tithes on that. But when it's a free gift, and somebody comes visiting and he hands you over, or you have a baby, they said for your baby, they didn't say for a particular thing, you pay tithes on all that. Praise the Lord.
So the second question is before we get to the one that will probably spend another 1 hour. So this one says, actually it's one of the questions that I researched that I put in the House Fellowship stuff. He said, what if I don't belong to any church? So we're still on the topic of tithing. And like I said earlier on, it is for us to understand what it is all about. It is not for anyone to be cajoled or forced, like Pastor Dorothy said, to pay tithe. It's just for the understanding. You know, the scriptures say we pray with understanding, we dance with understanding, we do all these things with understanding. So we want to make sure that we understand what we are doing, and then it becomes a choice. And thank God, God gave us free will, so we choose what we want. So this second question is, the person is asking, and is one of the questions that I researched that I put in the House Fellowship material. What if I don't belong to a particular church? Where should I pay my tithe?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We know that you have to give where you're being fed. So if you don't belong to any church, you are a sheep without shepherd. I'm so sorry for you. I think you should go and pray and ask God to lead you to a local assembly where he has prepared the feeding for you and where he has things for you to do. So if you don't belong to a local church, then please let's move over to the next question. You should pray and ask God to lead you to the local assembly where you should belong.
That's why I said praise, let's just Lord. Quickly do that now, get to the real one. So now this is the real one. Let me put on my glasses. The real one is, when we're talking about tithing between a married couple, where one person agrees with it, or disagrees with it, or felt that, listen, we have a need, we need to take care of our need, the tithing is not the issue. How do you deal with that? A husband and wife, let me explain it. One of them wants to pay, another one says, listen, we have problems, and list out all the problems, and say, well, it's not going to be enough for our problems. How do you deal with that?
Amen. My pastor is going to come to answer that question, but I just want to also address that other one the second one. I think it's, you know, if whoever asked that question or whoever is applicable to is here, I think to start with, if you are coming to any particular local assembly and it's a leading church, I don't want to encourage anyone to go and be giving your tithe where people are not really feeding. They're not preaching the truth. So if you are feeding, because I know in my own class, I usually encourage them, for those that are coming newly, please pray and ask God to help you to know if this is a local assembly where he wants you to settle, or if there is another place. But I will encourage them to just keep on coming to the Sunday school and to the church and just keep on praying and listening in, that God will guide you because he's very faithful. So if you are in that category, because you are still praying, you want to hear God, if this is where he wants you to settle, then I think it would be wonderful if you be giving in the place where you are currently feeding until when God finally leads you to the final place where he will have you settle as your home church. Praise the Lord. My
pastor. I must confess that most of the questions I put down, they were not from our church members. Okay, so I did research This very one in particular, they were from us. I did research, and then I spoke to some of my friends. It's pretty much for people that really don't go to church, or they go from one church, or they travel a lot. So this very question is not from the church members. It was just all the things I was researching and I was putting together.
All right, on the question you asked about husband and wife not agreeing on paying tithes, I think it still comes back to what we're saying, that the more, like Mommy said, the more revelation you have, the better understanding and the help you get. Now, one of the reasons why we pay our tithes, God said, if you pay your tithes, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I always say to people, when they say we have needs, that's why we're not paying our tithes. If what you have is not enough for to be a fruit or to be food, then it's a seed. Sow it so that there can be increase. God says, when you pay your tithes, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So the husband and wife have to come to an agreement of convincing themselves that we need to pay this thing first. You know, again, too, when you look at the story of this woman, is it a Shunammite woman now that fed? You know, the prophet said, do my own first, then I'll attend to you. You know, that's very crucial. Now, but when husbands and wife are not agreeing, let's remind ourselves that we're not under the law. The causes of tithes don't fall upon you because you didn't pay. But the blessings may elude you. Now, so we need to sit down and come to an agreement. That should not be a point of division, especially when the husband and wife have a joint account or they keep money together. But I also noted that some families don't keep money together. So if I don't keep money with my spouse or we don't do things together, we manage our homes based on bring what you have, I bring what I have, then I'll still pay my tithes without responding to you. But if you are together, let us understand that I need to carry my spouse along, and I'll be praying and seeking the face of God that he has the understanding that I have about tithes so that we can go along together. Nobody's feeling bad.
Praise the Lord. All right, I want to touch on the question when somebody doesn't have a place where they worship. Deuteronomy 14, you know, touched on some contradicting things that we learn every day about tithing. But if you read around that verse 29, it also included that when you are giving your tithe, that you should not forget the orphans, the motherless babies, and those people that need help. So from my own opinion, if you don't have a place that you worship, you can channel your tithing to that place.
Remember what I said? From this church.
Sorry, I say from my own opinion, but like I said, if we read the Deuteronomy 14, with that said, okay.
The question is not from this church, because I can see that Amen. All of us come here. So this
praise
is our
the
local
Lord.
Church.
Praise the Lord. Please let us not mix tithes with, you know, giving. You know, we have scriptures for that, and I know Pastor Uche dealt extensively that when we had the week that we had, you know, the last preaching that he did. So let's not, when the Bible said, you know, when was I in prison and then you visited me and all that, the orphans and all that, it's different. We have welfare in this church. We have benevolence. If you look at your envelope, you see all that there, okay? And then we have feeding. There are so many areas where you give, but that is not your tithe, okay? So let's not mix these things up. So if you don't have a local assembly, like I said, please prayerfully ask God to lead you to a local assembly. And meanwhile, if you really, really love God, and you know that the word of God is true and the scripture cannot be broken, and you understand about tithing, give your tithe where you're being fed for now until you're led to a home church. Amen. Let's continue with the question that you're dealing with now.
So, that question is not from this church again. And the last time I dealt extensively on this difference between giving and tithing. Those two things, remember I said I did not take any scripture on giving, only because I didn't want us to mix it up. So I still have the scriptures on tithing. This topic, tithing, is what we're dealing with. So we don't want to bring giving. It's a different thing altogether, so we can understand the whole thing about tithing.
Okay. It's because of this. That's why I wanted to clarify what you said at the beginning, that you're going to define tithe as a gift. That's why we need to clarify it, okay? Because I think when we look at Malachi 3 verse 3, talking about robbing of God, robbing God, that's if you don't pay your tithe. If it is a gift, I don't think that word, robbing God, could have been used. And of course, if you're giving a gift is not stipulated by a percentage of what you give. So I think it is very important for us to address that definition you give tithe at the beginning.
I understand what he's saying, so we withdraw the word.
We withdraw, okay.
So please make sure you follow the Bible. I don't see that there's nowhere in the Bible it said give your gift. So we are pulling back that word gift. So let's continue.
Answer a question on this. Talking about I think people who are talking about gift or pay, all this is semantic, it does not really matter. The important thing is, as a child of God, it's not a testimony, but when I was saying, oh no, I look at my pocket, look at my expense, it appears that I don't have enough to take care of me, and I said, okay, I will not pay tithe. Guess what? I find myself into trouble, and until one day, in my dream, the Lord said to me, why not just try me? Do you believe that I can give you all things? Do you believe that I can meet all your needs? And I woke up, it was 2 a.m. I went down on my knees. I cried, I said, Lord, forgive me. And you know what? I started paying my tithes. And when I pay my tithe, I find out every time I go, even when I don't have anything, I go to my bank. I still have money there. All my needs are being met. I am pleading with every member of this church. And I say them, tell them this on my job when we have a meeting, prayer meeting. I say, pay your tithe. Pay your tithe. You're not really doing God any good. When you pay your tithe, you're doing yourself a world of good. Because when you do what you're telling God, I trust you. I trust that what you say you will do in my life, you will do it. I trust we will say that David cried out and he said, once I was young, but now I am old. Yet have I not seen his seed begging bread, nor the righteous, forsaken. Don't we believe that? If we believe that, why are we talking about tithing? As a matter of tithing, should not be taught in church where people believe. Because if we know in whom we believe, there's no need teaching us to face our tithe. This is something we do out of the love. But when we do it, we're telling God we believe you. Please let us, understand what we're talking. There are certain issues that we shouldn't be discussing. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's absolutely true. You know what will happen if everyone is giving their tithe? I don't think we'll be asking for the Christmas charity something. There will be so much. The Bible says, so that there might be food in my house. Thank God we are under grace. We are no longer under the law. So God is not going to punish you because you didn't give your tithe. But the only thing is that those blessings that is attached to the tithing, you will be losing out in that because the scripture cannot be broken. But it won't be God that is doing it. But you'll just be giving the devil a landing, you know, space in your life to come and do whatever he wants. But it is never God. So don't ever say, oh, this is big, God is punishing me because I didn't give my tithe. It's not God. But it's simply that scripture that you're violating, you have just opened a hole for the enemy to come and pummel you. It happened to me and my husband. I think I've shared that testimony here. How we promised 15%, and then when things started flourishing, we pulled back because the money began to increase so much so that, you know, we felt that maybe this is too much. So let's keep this money so that if anybody now, if they are asking for help with maybe orphans or whatever, we can give from that. So we were still giving 10, but we stopped giving 15. What happened to us? When the Bible said, you know, don't promise something that you will do in Ecclesiastes and then don't make a vow and you don't keep it. We repent things. It's like things, you know, like the Bible said that riches, they have wings, they flew away. It happened to us for months. Thank God for, you know, the revelation. I think it was my pastor that was preaching when we were still at Oyadiro. That he was the one that used that scripture, making a vow. We repented and we asked God to forgive us for the backlog of the 5% that we failed to pay. And then things started flourishing. I don't know how it happens, but I know the scripture cannot be broken. When we came over to this country again, we didn't have that money when we moved into our own home. So we were owing God. So we kept on writing the arrears that we are owing. And things kept tightening up and tightening up. That when we went for the women's conference, I remember the ministerial overseer said we should just begin to worship and praise God. I couldn't worship God. When I opened my mouth to worship, I start crying. Because of the difficulties that we were going through. And then the next thing, she said we should now be quiet and let's listen in to what God was saying to us. And all of a sudden, it's like an audible voice from my behind saying, bring ye all your tithe. All your tithe. I just turned this way. I didn't see anybody. We were all lying down. And then I said, Lord, but you know, we've been paying, but we are not able to pay everything. We noted the arrears, and we're going to still give it to you when we get the money. He said, try me. Try me. So I remember we came back at the end of that was a women's conference. I came back that Sunday morning, and I shared this with my husband. He said I should do whatever I want to do. Because at the time, I was the only one working, but, you know, we have a joint account. So, and then I promised God that the very next check that will come, that we're going to pay everything, but he should forgive us for the arrears. And God is very merciful. So, on the next Monday, you know, the only check that came, because I worked only one day in 3 weeks. I was doing substitute teaching, and that one day is $100. It came. We gave the 15%. And it didn't take long. The same week, that Monday, they called me to come on Tuesday in the morning for another school for 3 months. And as if that was not enough, that Tuesday, my brother was driving around and he came over to our house. He said, I just felt I should give you this $100 to buy whatever you needed. My husband came back, I gave it to him. He said, wow, this thing works. So this thing, because, you know, we were the ones keeping our account. So we just kept that one aside. We didn't have anybody. We were just six of us at the time fellowshipping in the church. And then my beloved brother, Izendo Kwere, visited our house and said, my wife, I want you to take this and buy whatever you people needed. And I opened it. It was $200. My husband came back again. I gave it. He said, oh, my goodness, this thing works. The scripture cannot be broken. I didn't make this up. This was our own experience. And I would like my pastor to please come and share his own experience with us before we wrap up, please, okay? Because it's good for people to get this testimony so that you know that these things work. The Spirit of God will guide you. But listen in and follow as he's directing you about tithing and offering. We've heard so much. Let him share the testimony.
Then you can. The envelopes for Sunday school.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Have you given out the envelopes? Okay, my pastor, please, you pray over the offering.
Father, we thank you for these envelopes with money in it. We thank you for the privilege to give. The Bible says that when we give, it shall be given unto us. We we stand on that promise and we receive back. Thank you for the seed that have been sown. They will not die in the ground. They will bring forth harvest back into our lives. And this money will be used for the expansion of your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. All right. I was privileged to be at the Life Center in Mommy's house. And then I shared this testimony. I got born again 1988, 7th of September. And one young man came to me. He was following me up and said to me, he said, you have to pay your tithes. I was a lecturer then, and I was earning, I remember very well, 666 naira. That's all my salary there. Then he said, you have to pay your tithes. I said, no, it can't be possible. That the money is not enough for me to spend. And he told me, he didn't even put the scriptures. He just said to me, he said, see, God promised that anybody that gives 10% of their increase, it will open the windows of heaven and bless them back. He caught my attention, because one of the reasons why I gave my life to Christ was because things were not going well for me financially. So I was still dragging my feet, but he said something that I never forgot. He said, pay your 10%. He said, if you lack anything for the next 1 month, come and collect your money back from me. I said, are you God? He said, no. He said, I represent God here on earth. And if this thing does not work for you, come and collect your 66 naira, 66 kobo back. I remember very well. So I paid based on that. And October 1988 was the first month I lived from the beginning of the month to the end without borrowing money. I still can't explain that up to tomorrow. And of course, the following month, the school said that they wrongly employed me, that I should have been at a higher level than where they took me in. I should have been a lecturer 2 instead of lecturer 3. And then they corrected that. And then my salary went to 1,000 and something naira. It works, brethren.
It works.
Okay. I just want to conclude my own testimony. So like I said, they called me in a school for 3 months to do substitute teaching. This was something that they were doing before. They would call me one time, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Nobody will call me. Sometimes a whole month, I won't go anywhere. And meanwhile, remember my husband was not working at the time. So they called me for 3 months. Then from 3 months to another 1 week, from another 1 week to another 2 weeks, and from there, I got this job at the Essex County, which was now a permanent job. And meanwhile, the district called my husband and said that they are now going to be paying him $200 every week. That means $800 a month. And from there, things just started flourishing for us. So please, just listen to the word of God. Follow the spirit of God. The word works. Fighting works. He said, if God said, and prove me, why don't you prove him? Praise the Lord. Mama?
Praise the Lord. You will have this in back of your heart. Say, know that you cannot worship God without money. I say it again. You cannot worship God without money. You will worship God with money. Tithing is 1/10. And God said it's holy. It's a holy thing. When you get your money, you take that holy thing out that you will not destroy your handwork. It is a holy thing. Tithing is not difficult. Maybe I'm not working on that. I don't have much money. Even if $10, you take out the tithe. You have no matter how small it is, you take it out. You will not mix tithe. You say, I am helping people, and you will take your tithe and go and help people. Or I have something, you will take your tithe and go and do that. No, tithe is for because you love God, you are giving your tithe. It is you are not giving to a man. If you have in your heart that I am giving a man, it is wrong. You are paying your tithe to God because of the love you have for God. You cannot worship God without money.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to also chip in the fact that, you know, the Bible said if you're unfaithful in unrighteous mammon, what is unrighteous mammon? That's money. He said, who will give you the true riches? What is the true riches? The spiritual things. The blessings of God. So if you're not faithful in unrighteous mammon, that is the least. Your tithing, your offering, the giving is the least you can ever give to God. So if you're not faithful in that, God said, who will give you the true riches, these blessings? Who? And this is New Testament. So I think it's wonderful if we remember that riches, they have wings. And a man can receive nothing except it was first given to him from God. And who gives you the health? Who gives you the job? Who gives you the family? Everything, we know that all good gifts and perfect gifts, they all come from him. He's our source. Let's give it under grace. Let's not give it under the law. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And I know as you keep getting more and more understanding, we will all act better. But let's just, if God is God, let's just simply take him at his words. I want you to conclude, please.
I think it's all about faithfulness, really, because when we think about the widow, the Zarephath woman, and the widow's mite, really, those coins, the widow's mite, I'm sure, that was her last. And the Zarephath woman, that was her last meal. But it's just being faithful. So what God is looking for is our obedience and faithfulness. And honestly speaking, when he said, I'm going to rebuke the devourer, the one that will take your crops, the one that will puncture your tire, the one that will make you sick, how, if you take somebody's thing or you steal from somebody, why would the person be fighting for you? I'm not saying that's who our God is, but what he's saying that he will rebuke the devourer. What is the devourer? What is it that is making us not to pay? You know, all he's asking us is our obedience, and then let him be God. So I think if the Zarephath woman can give Elijah, the prophet, can at least obey, and the widow's mite, she can put her last coin, I think we all have something to give. It's all about being faithful and the motive. He doesn't want us to give grumbling. God wants us to give out of a cheerful heart. Now, let's look at it this way. He gave us Jesus. He gave us his son. So isn't that the best gift anybody can give? Somebody giving you his son and is just asking for money. So he gave us Jesus, and the least we can do is to give him back. And I think if we didn't wake up this morning, just look at ourselves. Let's be grateful that we are breathing, because anyone that is not breathing is not going to hear about tithing. The fact that we are alive is even enough for us to say thank you to him. Thank you so much.